Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we start moving into the realm of the halachas of Shabbos. We are now at Siman Ayin Beis, 72nd chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to be looking at the power of Shabbos and the importance of preparation. This is part one of this longer chapter, this longer section. We're going to be looking at four concepts today. Number one is the gravity of keeping Shabbos. Number two is preparation for Shabbos. Number three is things to refrain from on Erev Shabbos. Number four is Shnai Mikra, preparing by learning the parasha before Shabbos. Let's jump straight in. The gravity of keeping Shabbos. So we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos as a sign, as a reminder to us that he created this world. Ois gadol, it's a great sign, and it's a covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created the earth. And therefore, it is foundational to our faith. And that is why that a person who keeps Shabbos, it is as if they are keeping all the Torah, because it's foundational to the rest of the Torah, this basic principle as well. And consequently, in the opposite direction, if a person desecrates Shabbos, as a person didn't just desecrate one mitzvah, it's like they desecrated all of the Torah, because it is the underpinning of most of the belief of the Torah itself. So therefore, when a person keeps Shabbos, they are promised great reward beyond just keeping that mitzvah. The way, based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Rambam explains, it says, "Oz tisaneg al Hashem," then you'll have joy, you'll have wonder in Hashem. Hashem will give you the best of the best, because this is the promise of Hashem for keeping Shabbos. Let's jump straight in. So first question, in this section we're going to look at three basic questions, and this is about the gravity of keeping Shabbos. Number one is, it sounds so serious, does this have normative halachic implications? The answer is yes. A Jew who is wantonly desecrating Shabbos publicly is considered like a non-Jew, and that means to say that the wine that they're involved with is like stam yenom, is like the wine that non-Jews deal with. Their pas and their bishul are considered like pas akum and bishul akum, which means to say that their cooking is considered like they are non-Jews if a person is a mechalel Shabbos befarhesia, a person who desecrates Shabbos wantonly and publicly. Wow, so that's pretty serious, but how? What if they just didn't know? So the truth is that today, most Jews just don't know. So this statement of Mechalel Shabbos Varhes is referring to a person who should know better and unfortunately doesn't. That the average non-from Jew today just has no clue. Beryl Katznelson, one of the founding secular Zionists in Israel, made the following statement: "We wanted to raise a generation of heretics, but instead we raised a generation of ignoramuses." And that's in general true about things. You have a few people who have a, you know, hard-lined idea, and they want to bring people up with that idea, but it doesn't turn out that it works out. Most of the people just, you know, just needed to focus on what's in front of them, which is food and family, the immediate needs of the time. So most people, maybe more complicated to understand what their standing is in this as regards as well. Also, what does publicly mean? So it means in front of 10 Jews or more, or if it's just widely known what they are doing, that's also known as gossip, or today social media. So if that's considered public as well. Let's move into the more concrete aspects of halacha over here. Our second concept is preparing for Shabbos. So the Torah says, "Zachor es yom haShabbos haKadoshoy," remember the day of the Sabbath to make it holy. This is a positive commandment. Shabbos has positive and negative commandments. We're going to deal with some of the negative aspects of Shabbos, which means things we don't do. But it's important to appreciate that there's a lot of things we have to do. There's a lot of important things that we must do to ensure Shabbos is special. And so we're going to look at a few of them now. So how should I shop for Shabbos? So the halacha is that all week, if I see something unusual and something good, I see a good cut of meat, I see a nice dressing, which won't perish, so I've got refrigeration, or I have some way of preserving it, I should buy it for Shabbos. I should be looking forward to Shabbos as well. Should be noted, by the way, parenthetically, that Hillel HaZaken, and it had a different way of doing things. He would have everything good that he saw when he came, and he'd say, "Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, blessed Hashem every day," and then he'd in his mind know that he would get something better for Shabbos when it came closer to Shabbos. We Paschal like Shammai in this respect, and generally speaking, when we see something which is good, we say, no, our entire week is pointing towards Shabbos. Let's save that for Shabbos. When should I do my Shabbos shopping? So Kesa suggests on Erev Shabbos, because the food is freshest. However, those items which need preparation, and there's schedules, and there's two salaries, and people are working, and it's very busy, so then, of course, it can be done earlier. It's always balancing between freshness and necessity of preparation as well. Is there anything that I need to say? The answer is yes. When you're shopping for Shabbos, it is best to say Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you're buying it, what you're doing is you're intentionalizing, you're making this action, not just simply checking out, but you're making this this action into an action of moving towards Shabbos. When should laundry be done? So laundry should not be done on Erev Shabbos because it gets very busy. This is one of the takonas, one of the enactments of Ezra HaSofer from 2,500 years ago to do that before Erev Shabbos. For preparing the house, is it sufficient to ask my house help to do the necessary preparations? So if somebody is blessed to be able to employ somebody who can help them with the house preparations, that's wonderful, but that does not exempt a person from being involved directly themselves as well. The Gemara tells us that the greatest of the Amoraim, the greatest of the sages of the Gemara, Rav Chista would cut the vegetables, Rabba and Rav Yosef would cut wood for the fire, Rabbi Zeira would light the fire to make sure the house is warm, and Nachman would fix up the house and arrange the kelim, and you'd take out all the weekday vessels and replace them with the Shabbos utensils. So there's no excuse for any person, not to be involved in the preparation of Shabbos. Everybody should be doing something with their hands. They should actually be doing something to prepare for Shabbos. Is there a difference between buying or baking challah? So if all is equal, the Kitzur says there's a greater schus for making the challahs of Shabbos because there is an extra mitzvah of hafrashas challah, separating a part of the challah which is part of one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, which is a very special mitzvah. How many challahs should there be? He describes there being minimally three: a small, a medium, and a large. The medium one for the night meal, the large one for the day meal, which is the most important meal, and the small one for sort of shlishis, obviously, figuring into that how there should be lechem mishnah, but just at minimally there should be three in this respect as well. What types of food should be eaten at the Shabbos meals? So there should be wine, there should be bread, and there should be fish and meat as well. Some have a meat-filled pastry called pashtida, and that was as a commemoration of the manna, of the man that was out of the desert, which is what commemorated the double portion from Friday, which went over to Shabbos. What if fish doesn't agree with my stomach? So you don't have to have fish, it's just that it should be an Oneg Shabbos. So if fish is an Oneg Shabbos, then you should have fish as well. And there seems to be Kabbalistic reasons to have fish as well. What else should I do to prepare the house of Shabbos? So one should sharpen the knives, set the bed, set the table, and have the table covered all Shabbos. Some people are the menach to have two covers on the Shabbos table over Shabbos. Can I taste the food before Shabbos? The answer is absolutely. In fact, some quote the phrase from Davening, to Amer, Chaim Zachor. Those who taste it merit to great life. What if someone is really poor? So if the person is really poor, there still is a chiyuv of Oneg Shabbos, there's still a responsibility of making Shabbos wonderful and more special. And therefore, the person should even should look to have something extra and special, and even borrow to entail this. The Kitzur reminds us, the Gemara which tells us that there is a budget which is given to every person for the year, for their family, and that Hashem ascribes to each family, but Shabbos is not part of that budget. So if a person spends more on Shabbos, that money comes back. One's not losing money on Shabbos as well. What if there just isn't enough food to eat? God forbid that a person's really in such level of narrows. So then, in that case, the Gemara does say, "Asay Shabbat Chachol." The person should do what they can, even making their Shabbos weekday, in order not to be dependent on others. So that's a very dire level of need that a person would reach for that as well. What if somebody brought me something special for Shabbos? Can I save it for next week during the weekday? The answer is no. If it's specially got for Shabbos, one should really have it on Shabbos as well. If there's leftovers, of course one can have it during the week, but one shouldn't take a special thing that was meant for Shabbos and have it during the week. No, we're moving to concept number three, things to refrain from on Erev Shabbos. So when can I work until? So best to stop at Mincha Ketana, which is around 9.5 hours into the day. What about casual work, like just here and there? That's fine even after Mincha Ketana. What about work for Shabbos? Any work for Shabbos is allowed to be done till Shabbos. What about completing a paid job for a friend? So this is a problem. Unless the one will be penalized for the delay, or the money that is being earned is used for Shabbos supplies, it's more complicated just to finish up a job, like let's say fixing their car garments. What about giving a haircut and for money? That's allowed because it's clear that the haircut is for on our Shabbos. When should Jewish stores close? The Kisra says at least an hour before Shabbos, a Jewish store should be closed as well. What may I must I not eat on Erev Shabbos? So one cannot have a fixed meal. That means one sits down at the table with bread from nine relative hours in the day and later, because otherwise it's going to diminish from a person's appetite as they come towards Shabbos. What happens if it was a Seudas Mitzvah that I had to eat? So if it could be done on a different day, let's say a person's making a Siyum, do it on a different day, not Erev Shabbos. If it has to be on Erev Shabbos, so for instance, it's a Bris Milah, Pidyon Aben, it's Purim on Erev Shabbos, then it's best to have that Seudah in the morning and not to overeat in order to make sure that Shabbos remains special. Our last concept today is Shnai Mikra. There's a halacha, which appears in Shulchan Aruch in Resh Pei Hei, 285, which is that a person needs to finish his parashiyah Esav with the tzibur, which means that when every Shabbos we read a parasha, we're supposed to do it privately as well ourselves before arriving at Shabbos as well. This is part of the preparation, the Kitzur points out, for Shabbos as well. When can I start this mitzvah? So technically, one can start from the Shabbos afternoon of the week before, which means that if a person was on let's say it was Shabbos Bereishis, at the Shabbos afternoon, they start laying the first aliyah in Mincha for Parshas Noach. At that point, they can already start doing Shnai Mikra for Parshas Noach, because that's when it begins. How does one break it up? The Kitzur says it's best to do it all on Friday afternoon. I don't know how that works in some people's houses, but I know that in my house, that is a really difficult time. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Vilna Gaon, says the other way to do it, and the best way to do it would be that to have one aliyah per day. That's 7 days a week, seven aliyahs, and it's meant to be, this was the original Daf Yomi. This is the original idea that everybody's on the same page, everybody's doing one aliyah a day as they move towards the Parasha HaShavua. How should I break up the Mikra and the Targum? How should I break up the way I do this? So it should be done paragraph by paragraph. There's two different types of paragraphs in the Torah. There's a Psuch and a Stumma, a full paragraph, a half paragraph. But nonetheless, anytime one reaches the end of the paragraph, one reads the Mikra, one reads the text of the Torah, and then one does the Targum of that paragraph, then one comes back and does the text of the Torah once again. What is included in this? So the obviously nominally the seven aliyahs of the parasha, and some even say the Haftarah. I would make a suggestion is do the parasha first before getting to Haftarah. Just commit minimally to doing this. This is a mitzvah which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Not all the other yomis which are wonderful, but the halacha of doing Mishnah Mikra is a very important halacha. Most people don't do it. Do that, and even if one doesn't get to Haftarah. What is Targum? So usually this is the Aramaic translation of the Torah. There's a Targum Unkelus. There are other Targum. There's Targum Yerushalmi. There's Targum Yonasan of Zeal as well. They incorporate a lot of Midrashim. Optimally, Rashi is seen as a very excellent distilling of much of the ideas of Chazal and could be learned in place of the Targum as well. If it's not possible, then one can learn it with a translation in a common language. The example the Kitzur brings is Ten of Arena, which was a German-based translation of the Torah incorporating ideas of Chazal. Today, there are many translations which do that as well. The Art Scroll Stone Edition is one example which does this as well. What if there's no Targum available? So then one should do Shnai Mikra, this the two times the Torah, and wait until they have a Targum available and do that part later. With this, we'll break at the end of the first segment of preparation of Shabbos. Have a wonderful meeting.